Good morning. Oh, don't you love the presence of the Lord? Oh, it makes me just want to get out of the way, don't you? And just lift him up. We can just keep going. I love the presence of the Lord. How wonderful. So thankful to be in the house of the Lord with you this morning. And so it's nothing like being together with God's family. God is good. Glad that Mary Ann is here this morning. Her and Donna's become friends, and first time I've got to meet her is this morning, but her and Jack, I believe we'll be seeing a lot of them in the future. I didn't get to meet this couple here. I shook their hand. I'm so glad that y'all are here. Glad that every one of you's here. There's nothing like just being where we're supposed to be. If you would, open up your Bibles. We're in week 5 in this series we've been ministering on about how to rule and reign in righteousness. So let's look at our series text in Proverbs chapter 4 and Romans chapter 5. And this morning we're going to be talking about walking in wisdom and using understanding. Walking in wisdom and using understanding. In this day and time, you and I, we need the wisdom of the Lord like never before. But you see, wisdom tells us how to use our understanding. See, we can understand a lot of things and we can have knowledge, but if we don't have the wisdom of the Lord, we don't know how to apply. So we need to put those two together. So that's what we're going to be talking about. We're talking about how to become a kingdom kid, how to learn how to rule and reign in this life. God wants us to be his representative. I can't believe that God would have want you and I would allow us to be his representative. How wonderful is that? How magnificent is that? So that's what we've been doing in this series, is trying to get it in our heart. So anyway, let's read our text. Proverbs chapter 4, let's read verses 18 and 19, then we'll go to Romans chapter 5. We're going to do most of our teaching out of Proverbs 4. I've been telling you that we would do that, and this week we're finally getting there. So Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18, if you're there, say amen. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more under the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness, and they know not at what they stumble. Think about that. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. And then Romans chapter 5, verse 17, we'll try to finish this up week after next in this Romans chapter 5, but Romans 5, 17, for if by one man's offense, talking about Adam, the first Adam, death reigned, death ruled as a king by one, much more they which have received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ, shall reign in life by one, in this life by one, Jesus Christ. Brother Donnie, would you pray? Yes.
During the presence.
Yes. Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Donnie. Thank you for standing and honoring the word. Once again, thank you for being here that we might worship together. You could be anywhere, worship anywhere, but you chose to be here, and it's an honor for us to be able to worship with you. So back in Proverbs chapter 4, we're going to look at some things this morning, I believe, that will bless us and help us to grow tremendously. I want to grow in the Lord, don't you? I want to get closer to him. I want him to be revealing his truth to me rather than what this world has to offer, because this world is in a state of confusion. This world is in a, it's in a mess. We know that and we understand that. But thank God, when you and I are trusting in God as our Father, we're in a place and a position where we're not of this world. We're of the eternal world. We're in a kingdom, and that kingdom is what we're looking for. But look here in this Proverbs chapter 4. Notice what he said once again. We've read it many times, but verse 18, but the path of the just. See, you and I, we know that the Bible is very clear that we have to have a righteous God. Because you and I, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so there has to be. And so we have all the Old Testament types and shadows of the high priest and how he would offer the sacrifice, that those sins could be rolled back year to year and they could have that fellowship. Well, you and I today, under the new covenant in the New Testament time of grace, we're to rule and reign in this life by Jesus because he's our high priest. He's the one that offered the ultimate sacrifice. And so we've been justified. That means just as if I never sinned. Isn't that amazing? This morning, you and I, because we trust in the plan of God, we trust in God's salvation, then we're in that place where we're justified, just as we've never sinned. And so our path should be getting brighter and brighter. If my heart keeps beating and the Lord tarries, tomorrow my path is going to be brighter. Tomorrow your path is going to be brighter. We have that promise and that assurance. And so we're going to look at three things this morning for our understanding to grow and the wisdom to apply that understanding. We have to become as little children. We have to be understand that we are a child of the Most High God. And so we need to hear like a child. We need to have or get, obtain with a childlike attitude. And then we need to see we have a heritage as children of God. We've got a heritage. So we're going to look at those three H's out of this Proverbs chapter 4. Turn back over, if you would, to the first part of the chapter. And let's look at verse 7 before we get started. Look at verse 7. The Word of God says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. So wisdom here is the principal thing. Now, from the Hebrew, this is saying it's the chief. It's the first in priority. We got everybody chasing everything under the sun. And the Bible tells us that those things are vanity. Vanity. They're empty. You and I, what we need to be seeking as after is the Lord, after this precious word of God. We need to have it in our hearts. So he said wisdom, and we need to get that because it's the principal thing. He said wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. So I need to be in that place where I see that this word get, it means that I need to go out and I need to sell everything else and get the wisdom of the Lord. There's nothing else more important. I need to procure these things. He said, if I will do that, if I'll put it first, he said that it would what? In verse 8, it would exalt. If I'll exalt wisdom, wisdom would exalt me. So let's hold that in our heart. The word of the Lord, the wisdom of the Lord, it's a way that you and I can grow higher. Well, I want to grow higher in the Lord. I want to grow higher in his word and his will. So let's look at how we can do that. So let's jump back up to verse number 1. And let's see what he says about hearing as a child this morning. Hebrews 4:1. He said, hear ye children, hear the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. He said, hear ye children. So if I'm a child of God, and I am, if you're a child of God, and I trust that you are, then we're going to come to that place where we hear by the Spirit. This word here is a Hebrew word, shama, and it means to hear with understanding. It means to hear with obedience. It means to put what you hear to practice. Now, that's what a child does. They hear what mom and daddy, grandma and grandpa, or whoever's in authority over them in that life, they hear that word, and they just take it to heart. You know, I love the grandbabies. They're just at the right age where if I tell them something, I hear them, and they'll be talking about it, and they'll say, one of them will say, why? And he said, because Papa said so. You know, and that's the way it should be. It should be that our words have weight. Oh, this morning, your words have weight. Your words, they have power. Your words, they can change situations and circumstances because you're not speaking by your own self. You're speaking by who you know. You're speaking by the authority of Jesus in your life. Amen. That Most High God that's living and abiding in you. So he says right here, if we're going to be able to walk in wisdom and use the understanding of God, he said, for us to hear as children the instruction. This word instruction from the Hebrew, it means reproof. It means correction. It means chastisement. You know, Paul wrote in the book of Hebrews, he said, the way you know the Lord loves you is that he what? He corrects you. He corrects me. He chastises us. So I'm not I'm not beyond chastisement. I'm not beyond correction. I want to hear it. I want to have correction, don't you? And so he said, if I would hear as a child, then he would be in the place where he would give me instruction that would correct me and make my life beneficial, make my life a blessing. I want to be a blessing everywhere I go. I know that you want to be a blessing. This is the key. This is how we do it, by the word of God. So he simply said, hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to understanding. So this word attend, it means that you have to prick your ears. You have to hearken. So you have to choose carefully what you listen to. I have to choose carefully. Paul said in the book of Corinthians that there's many voices in the world. And there's none of them without insignification, without power, without prominence. But you need to choose which voice you listen to. And you've chose the Lord. The Lord, He talks to you. He leads you. He guides you with that still, small voice. And so I need to be in the place where I hear as a child. I humble myself and I say, Lord, I want to hear what you've got to say. Notice what he said. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. Verse 3, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thy heart retain my words and keep my commandments and live. The Lord wants you and I not just to be alive. He wants us to live, have abundant life. Well, the way we have abundant life is I get the wisdom of the Lord to apply the understanding that he's put in me, that he's put in you, where we can walk it out. We can walk in victory. We can walk in success. We can walk in His perfect will, bringing an understanding of how much God loves the world. So let's look at some things, how we can apply that this morning. He said, if we were His child, that we would be ben in the Hebrew. And it means that you and I are a builder, because a son of God, a daughter of God, is a builder of God's family. Wow! God has chose us to help build His family. And so I need to hear that. I need to be excited about that. I need to have an expectancy like that. And I need to put it in practice. So go with me, if you would, to the New Testament. Let's go to the book of Matthew. Let's look at some teachings here about hearing as a child. Matthew chapter 18. Look at verse number 1. Matthew 18 and 1. At the same time, the disciples came unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Verse 2, and Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. Verse 3, and said, verily I say unto you, except you become or you be converted, you turn your life around and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now notice, here's this correction. Here's this instruction. The disciples, can you imagine? They've been walking with Jesus all this time. And all they're thinking about is from a prideful standpoint, Lord, I'm walking with you. How great am I going to be in your kingdom? And we know that this was an issue all through their walk with Jesus. So if that was an issue with them, then you and I need to realize that we're all the same flesh. And so we need to be very cautious. Pride cometh before a... So we've got to be so cautious and not to think more highly than ourselves than we should. But we need to be humble, because if we're humble, he said he would exalt us. I want to humble myself, don't you? So here Jesus is. He's given this word of wisdom. He's changing their understanding, because they thought, we've got to look at society as a whole. When Jesus is teaching this, women had no rights. They were not considered very much, sad to say, and children was even less than that. So can you imagine when Jesus reached over and he picked up that little child, put him on his knee, everyone's watching, everyone's listening, and Jesus said, do you want to see the greatest in the kingdom? It's somebody who will let me pick them up, listen by the Holy Ghost this morning, somebody who will let me pick them up and set them where I want them. Think about it. There's a huge crowd here. There's all sorts of people. There's no doubt that this child, even at a young age, had been disciplined and knew what they could do and what they couldn't do. They knew how they had to be quiet. They knew they were to be not to be seen and not to be heard. But yet in the midst of all of this, Jesus reaches out and picks this child out. This morning, you're here not by accident. You're here because God picked you out. And He put you here this morning because He wants to encourage you. He wants to wrap His arms around you. He wants to reveal that He has a plan for your life that's greater than you've ever dreamed of. So think about Jesus there. He's got that little child and sets that little child exactly where He wants him. What a privilege. You and I, we don't have to fight and struggle. When Jesus puts us somewhere, we're there. He's holding on to us. Now look what He said. He said, verse 4, "Whosoever there shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Oh, I love that. It's not what I know. It's not who I know. It's not what I have. It's not where I've been. It's all about what Jesus has said, what God the Father. God the Father, He created you and I with the ideal of us being His pleasure. He created you and I with a destiny. The Bible says from the foundation of the world that you and I, we were created, and the gifts and the calling of God was placed in us for this moment of time. God picked you out to live in the last part of history, as we're seeing all the signs coming, the coming of the Lord. You and I, He chose us. So we need to be in this place, in this position where we say, I can be great in the kingdom of God because I'm humble. I'm humble. I'm going to hear as a child. Now turn over with me to John chapter 6. Let's see how we can hear as a child and we can do something that would be so great that God said, I want to record that in my word. See, the book of Acts is still being written. So the things that you and I do can still be recorded in the Word of God. Amen? Look at John chapter 6 and look at this. This is so exciting. Verse number 1. "And after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee," which is the Sea of Tiberias. "And a great multitude followed Him because they saw His miracles, which He did on them that were diseased." Aren't you glad this morning that you follow Him by faith? Thank God for everything He does, but I don't love Him because what He does. I love Him because He first loved me. He loved me. He loved you enough to die for us. Everything else is just gravy. Verse 3. "And Jesus went up into a mountain where He sat with His disciples." Verse 4. "And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh." Jesus always used every opportunity to reveal Himself from what was concealed in the Old Testament. Jesus is our Passover. He is that bread. He is the one that can keep the death angel away from us. Verse 5. "And when Jesus lifted up His eyes, He saw a great company." Now notice, we then read in verse number 2, there was a great multitude. But all of a sudden, this great multitude turned into what? It turned into a great company. Now see, the multitude is a throng of people, but this great company, this is a group of people that are they're almost to the point of where they're fixing to turn into a riot. Because why? Because they've been following Jesus. They're hungry, they're tired, and all of a sudden Jesus sees their needs. He looks at them not just as a multitude, but He looks at them as a company of people who are lost and undone. They need to know what the Passover really means. They need to know what the bread of life, what that showbread in on the table there, what it was all about in that most holy place. They need to know about that. He says, I'm going to use this example to teach them and show them what I'm really talking about this morning. So He's got them sitting there, and look what happens. It's the latter part of the verse. "He saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Verse 6. "And this He said to prove him, for He knew, for He Himself knew what He would do." I love how Jesus always gives you and I an opportunity to be a part of His plan. So we need to hear as a child. That's what we're talking about. He said the principal thing is to get wisdom and to get understanding. And remember verse 1 of chapter 4 in the book of Proverbs said, hear ye children. This is how we can know that we're hearing, is when we're in that place where God is talking to us and He's showing us how everyday life is something about Him. Come on, it's not an accident. It's not a happenstance. Everyday life is something about Him and His will, His plan for your life and my life. Verse 7, "Philip answered, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little." So he gave Philip here an opportunity to be able to get on board with what he's going to do. See, God wants to do great and mighty things, and he wants you and I to have our hand, our heart, our very eyesight, our spiritual eyesight, our vision attached to it. Verse 8, and one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, notice this, verse 9, here's why we came here. There is a lad here. There's a child here. When there's someone that's walking with Jesus, is walking with these disciples, and he must have been so close to the disciples that they'd been communicating. No doubt, when they're on this journey, they were talking to this young lad, this child, and they had seen him and they had watched him, and all this communication process is going on. And it says, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Notice what he says. He says, but what are they among so many? So Philip, all he could think about was insufficiency. Every time you see the number 200 in the Bible, it deals with man's insufficiency. So that's what he's talking about. But then all of a sudden, here's Andrew. Andrew, his name means man. So think about this. He the Bible says, Andrew, Simon Peter's what? Brother. Look at that verse 8. So what are we talking about? Here, all of a sudden, something's fixing to change for Andrew, because Andrew means man. Simon means hearing. Peter means a piece of the rock. So all of a sudden, here Andrew is. He's in a place where he's listening to what Jesus is saying. He sees the need. He sees what the child has. And so Andrew becomes a man that's hearing by a piece of the rock. And he says, I don't know how you can do it. I don't know what it'll do. But I know there's a young man here. There's a lad here. There's a child here who's been hearing you talk. He's been hearing us talk. We've been walking together, and he's got 5 barley loaves. He's poor, but he's got 2 small fishes. See, he done read the boy. He knew the lad. He knew he was willing to what? To share what he had. This morning, you're here on a Sunday morning when you could just be taking it easy. But you're here because you want to worship the Lord, and you want to gather together with people of like faith. And you're in that place, in that position, where you have a vision for something bigger, something greater. So we're hearing as a child. And so here this child is. And now he gets to be written down in history. Andrew, because he's in that place where he's looking to Jesus, and he's going to see a miracle happen. Today, I believe in miracles, don't you? Today, I believe that God hasn't changed. God, Malachi chapter 3 says that our God changes not. He changes not. So what he done in the Old Testament, he'll do under the New Testament. And so we need to be in that place, in that position where we believe that. We hold on to that. Now notice what happens. Verse 10, and Jesus said, make the men sit down. And now there was much grass in the place, so that the men sit down is a number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he'd given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. Notice this, verse 11, likewise of the fishes as much as they would. We're serving a God of abundance. All we got to do, see Galatians 6:7, that we sow to the Lord and then we reap. It talks about sowing negatively, and it talks about sowing positive. You and I, we sow positively, we reap. Everything is about seed time and harvest in this walk with the Lord. And so can you imagine here that this young lad, this child heard all of this, and now he's recorded in history. Oh, glory. So I can give God this morning what I got. I don't have much, but what I got, I can give to the Lord. And that my little becomes a lot, comes just what is needed. Can you imagine that when this young lad got back home, mama, I took what you gave me and I gave it to a man, and this man took it and he blessed it and he started breaking it. And he gave it to these other men that were telling me all these wonderful things. And he just kept giving it out and giving it out and giving it out. And every person had as much as they would. And then there are 12 baskets left over. Oh, my. That's your God this morning. Yes, we may have more months sometime than money, but guess what? God can take care of that. We may have a negative report, a bad report from somebody in this world, but we got a God who can take care of that. We've got a God who is greater than the sayings of this world. I want to hear. I want to hear as a child. I want to hear the promises. I want to grab them and I want to run with them this morning. Don't you? Okay, let's go back to the book of Proverbs. So we can hear as a child. We need to learn how to have and to get as a child. Look at verse 5, Proverbs 4 and 5. He said, get wisdom. Get wisdom and get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Now, 57 times this Hebrew word is translated some form of buy, bought, buying, or purchase. So when it talks about getting wisdom, it talks about that you need to purchase. You need to go after wisdom just the same way you go after a car, a house, after you go after your weekly check, whatever it is, that you need to put God in that same avenue. If we're not careful, we put all these other things first, and then we want God to bless what's left. But the Bible's real clear that we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness first, and then He makes a promise that He'll add everything else into our life. So I need to. One Bible translation here says, "Buy wisdom and forage, feed on understanding." So, in other words, there's not one thing that you cannot have the wisdom or the understanding to do when you're in the place where you seek what God's will is, what His word is about it. So you have to have as a child. You have to see the importance of it. Okay, turn over to Proverbs 16:16. Look at Proverbs 16:16. It gives us a little more insight. How much better is it to get wisdom, to buy wisdom, to purchase wisdom, do whatever. The word procure, it means to procure. It means to build it, to erect it, to build it in your own life. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold? We think we need money, we do, but we need Jesus more. We need the Word of God more. We need a relationship with God more. There's a lot of people who have got money, but they're living a miserable life. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold? Notice this. And to get understanding rather than to the chosen than silver, rather than to choose silver. The Bible says, Old Testament, New Testament, God cannot lie. God's not a man that He should. So this is something that you and I need to evaluate in our own life. What am I really putting? What's the principal thing in my life? He said, the principal thing is I need to be getting wisdom. I need to be getting understanding. So I need to hear as a child. I need to start having as a child. A child, they'll find a way to get what they want. Will they not? They're not shy about asking. They'll tell you what they want. We need to tell God what we want. The Bible says in Psalms 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord. Psalms 37:3, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Delight means to be soft and pliable. Let Him shape you. Let Him mold you. Let Him put in you what you need. So I have as a child and I start getting everything that He would have for me. I don't settle for anything else. Riches of this world, Jesus said that the rust and the moth and all those things are going to steal, kill, destroy them out of people's lives. But what you and I are doing, we're laying our treasures in heaven. Proverbs 23:23. Buy the truth and sell it not. There's that same word. Procure it, you know, buy it, purchase it, erect it, build it up in your life. Hana. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. So I need to see that God has some things for me, but I've got to put that first. That's all this, all this is teaching, is it's what you and I put first. I got a grandson that loves video games. And last night, he told me everything in the world there was to know about this one video game, to the point where my head was scrambled. I didn't know, have a clue what he was talking about, because I don't know anything about video games. But he enjoyed sharing that with me, so I enjoyed what he had to say. But the point is, you and I, whatever we're leaning toward, whatever we're looking to, that's what's going to be on our heart. And whatever's on our heart is going to come out of our mouth. So what am I really doing? Let me share this with you. As a child, I loved Elvis, and so I always watched Elvis. And I was about 10 years old, and when the first time I ever saw the '68 comeback, and Elvis had the black suit, you know, with the red guitar. And so we went to town one day, and they had a guitar at Walmart. I wanted that guitar so bad, because it was red. It wasn't like Elvis's, but in my mind, it was close enough. So I made a deal with my momo that I would mow the lawn, and we'd put that guitar on layaway. And so as a child, that's all I was thinking about. I would think about that guitar. Every time we went to town, I would go and I'd look at that cabinet where that one on display was there, thinking about my guitar. And there was times when I had to make a choice. Am I going to mow the lawn, or am I going to go do what the other kids were doing? Do I want the guitar more, or do I want to go do what everybody else is doing? So ultimately, I finally got the layaway paid off. I got the guitar. I still got it today. Kyle's got it in his room. And you know, it's just an old cheap guitar. I never learned how to play it. I never done anything with it. But I wanted it, but I got it. What do you want this morning? Whatever you want, God is wanting to show you that He can use it for His glory when you use it in Him. It's all right to have desires and plans, but as long as He's first, put Him first. So, I need to have that diligence as a child. I need to be in that place where I hear as a child, but I have as a child. And if I'll do that, guess what? I'm going to have a heritage. I'm going to have an inheritance like a child. Go back to Proverbs chapter 4. And let's start reading here in verse 10. Proverbs 4 and 10. He said, "Hear, O my son." Remember, that means men in the Hebrew. It means as one building the family name, the family of God. "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many." See, I have an inheritance. That inheritance, I have a heritage as a child of God, that I'm supposed to live a long life. Live a long life and prosper in the earth. So the devil wants to convince you and I that we're going to be sick, defeated, discouraged all the time, and that it'd be better off to die and go into heaven. Well, thank God for heaven. But we got some things to do yet. And so your life is to be long on the earth. My life is to be long on the earth. We're to make an impact in this world. So my heritage from the Lord is, I need to see what God says about my life and not what the world is saying. Look at the next verse. Verse 11. "I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths." So what you and I do, we come up to a situation. We don't know what to do. Maybe we have financial problems. Maybe we're having marital problems. Maybe we're having trouble with our children. Maybe we're having trouble on the job. Maybe there's trouble in our housing complex or whatever it might be. We come back and we say, "Now, wait a minute. I need something from the Lord. I need to know what my heritage is. I need to know what a promise from the Lord is." And notice what he said. "I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths." So I need to start decreeing this. "Lord, I thank you that you have wisdom for me in this situation." Old Testament, New Testament. James 1:5 tells us that if you and I, if we'll ask God for wisdom, we ask in faith, we shall receive just a little bit. Abundantly, right? More than we can even understand. So Old Testament, New Testament, we got the same promise. So I need to start saying, I know what to do. I've got the wisdom of the Lord. I'm always in the right place at the right time. I open my mouth and I say what God would have me to say. I create, I form God's will, God's plan in and from my life. He will teach me. What did he say? Look at that last part. I have led thee in right paths. That's the righteousness of God. I can walk in the righteousness of God. I can have the right things in the right path of God. The devil can't steal it from me. That's my heritage. So there's a whole group of people today that believe, well, I think I'm going to make it to heaven, but I'm going to get in by the skin of my teeth and I'm going to go through hell till I get there. I'm not going to have anything. You talk to people, don't you? Listen to what they say. They may not put it in those words, but that's what they're saying. No, I have a right path. And in the path, in the way of the Lord is His blessing. Proverbs 14, Proverbs 16 says, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is death. I'm not on that way. You're not on that way. We're not on the way of death. We're on the way of life. Verse 12. When thou goest, look at this. When thou goest, when you follow the Lord, you can't go your own way. You can't sit down and stop going. But when thou goest, look what he promises. This is your heritage. Thy steps shall not be straitened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. You got to tell the devil that you know what the Bible says about your life. See, the devil's a bully. Remember in school? Bullies, they worked on fear and they worked on what you didn't know. But when you come to the truth, and the truth is what makes us free from fear, then you're able to stand your ground. So I need to be in that place, whether I'm walking or whether I'm running. I'm not going to fall. I'm not going to stumble. And even if I was to, the Bible says I could fall seven times and Jesus wouldn't let me hit the ground. He would hold me. The Lord will hold me. Amen. All right, let's go in closing, go into the book of Galatians in the New Testament. Is that plugged all the way in, that little, right there beside the mouse, that little line? Sometimes it... Thank you, Brother Jason. I appreciate you doing a great job. All right. Galatians chapter 3. Look at this. We're going to work our way here just for a moment. I want you to see something that will help you and encourage you so much. Look at verse 22. But the scripture that hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. So I have a heritage. If I believe the word of God, I believe that Yahweh, my Father, I believe that He had a plan for me and He so loved the world that He made a way, that He gave a sacrifice for me. He brought a Messiah in my life. He brought an anointed one in my life, in your life, to be able to save us. I've got a heritage here. I've got an inheritance. Look what it says, verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law and shut up under the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Aren't you glad that we're living in that time of revelation? Verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So I here's a child, I have as a child, I have this inheritance, and this inheritance is that I can be justified, that I can have the gift of God, which is a measure of faith, the measure of faith, that I can walk out. And as I start walking that the measure of faith out, then I can add more faith to it. I can add to it, and add to it, and add to it, and I can walk to a place of just victory in the Lord. That's my inheritance. That's your heritage this morning. Verse 25. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. Thank God for the law, but thank God for grace. Grace reveals to us what the law was trying to teach us. Amen. For ye are all, verse 26, ye are all the children of God. How are we children of God? By faith in Christ Jesus. So I have a heritage this morning. That heritage is that I believe, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that I might not perish, but I might have everlasting life. I might be forgiven. And so I put my faith in Jesus. I put my faith in this whole word, Old Testament, New Testament. I put my faith in the Most High God. And I have life. That's my heritage. That's your heritage this morning. That we can live and we can walk. And we had the schoolmaster of the law in the Old Testament to teach us what was concealed. And now we're living in the time of revelation. We're living in the time of grace. Verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. See, when you believed in the heart and confessed with the mouth, Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit went and took you and baptized you back into God the Father, God the Son, into Himself, God the Holy Spirit. You put on Christ, Christos, God's anointing. You put that on because you were baptized literally into the body. You're in there. You're a part of His many-membered body. That's your heritage. That means you can fellowship anytime, anywhere, no matter what's going on around you. Verse 28, for there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Oh, this morning, you and I, we've got the same DNA flowing through us. The DNA of the Most High God. We're born again. We're blood bought. We're blood washed. We have this fellowship with God the Father through His Son by the Spirit that's been given to us. That's our inheritance. And so there's no separation anymore. See, the devil wants to keep people separated by classes, by reputation, by all these things that does not matter. Because what matters is what's in your spirit, what's in my spirit. We have the Holy Spirit in our spirit that's revealing the love of God, that's shedding abroad in our heart the love of God. That's our heritage. That's our inheritance. That's how we can walk and live in this life. Amen? Okay, look, stay with me just a minute. And if you be Christ, if you've accepted this faith, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according, there's your heritage, heirs according to the promise. I'm a part of the Father of faith this morning. You're a part of the Father of faith. That's our heritage. So God blessed Abraham, and He blessed him, and all that He did, He blessed him, and he escaped spiritual death, and he had physical restoration in his life, and he had all the blessings of in his life of what he needed to financially to be secure. He was the richest man on the planet. I'm not preaching prosperity, but I'm preaching that we need to get out of the mindset that God's broke now, that God can't take care of us. I want to trust in the Lord, don't you? I want to let Him be my all in all. And so I need to see who I am. You are a child of God this morning. You need to hold on to that. Let that be your heritage, not what the enemy would try to sow in your life. In closing, look what it says. Keep going in chapter 4. It says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, different nothing from a servant, though he be the Lord of all. So it's time to grow. A child will hear, will have, and will inherit more and more, and they'll grow. They'll grow. They'll grow. You think about your children. Think about your grandchildren or your nieces or nephews or whatever. Think about how much, if you hadn't seen them in a little while, how much they've changed from one moment to the next. That's the way it is with you and I in the spiritual. We're growing. We're growing. And so thank God for the schoolmaster. Thank God for the law of the Old Testament. Thank God that He can show me and teach me the things I need to know. But now I need to walk in this grace. I need to walk by the power of the Spirit of God in my life, in your life. Now, it says, but under tutors, verse 2, and governors until the time appointed of the Father, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. See, if I don't grow as a child and start growing up in the Lord, I'm going to continually be bound. But see, I can walk in wisdom. I can use understanding. And I don't have to be out of the loop. Jesus said, I want to teach you the truth, and the truth will make you free. So I don't have to be bound by anything. So if there's things that I'm bound with this morning, if there's confusion, if there's anger, if there's hurt, if there's unforgiveness, if there's misunderstanding, guess what? Jesus wants to help us with that. He wants to teach us the truth. And so he'll show us through the Old Testament all the way to the New how we can receive this victory. Okay. Verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Why did God send his son? Verse 5. To redeem them that were under the law. I couldn't keep the law. I mean, I'd be like what the Apostle Paul said, of the sinner, I'm the chiefest. But Jesus came to redeem. He came to buy me back. He came to buy you back. The law is not bad. The law is good. But my flesh is bad. My flesh could not live it. And so I have to live. My heritage is I'm living as a redeemed child of God. I trust in that sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in that. All I do is believe in the heart and confess with the mouth, and I am saved. I'm free. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. When I can be a child of God. You can be a child of God this morning simply by just calling on him, just believing that, just holding that in our heart, and then living every day from that point of view, that standpoint. Almost through. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. This morning I have a heritage. That heritage is that I can come boldly to God as my Father. Not as a God that's looking to judge me, but a God that has pardoned me because I put my faith in his Son. I see that he loves me perfectly. He loves you with an everlasting love, but he loves you perfectly. To love someone perfectly, the Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. Is that not amazing? Is that not amazing? That's our God. No fear in our life. We know God is taking care of us. God calls you his own. So I need to walk in this wisdom. I need to use the understanding. I need to start speaking out of what God says about me. The Word has promised me, and I need to live from that point of view. Then I learn how to rule and reign in the righteousness of Jesus. I learn how to be as Jesus was in the earth, so am I to be, so are you to be. We can show the goodness of God, the goodness of the Father. Amen. I want to close with this thought. See, the devil wants to crowd you out. He wants to crowd you out of the blessings of God, out of the promises of God. So this is a real life situation. Go back with me to the early 1900s and go to, could be any Midwestern town. I don't know the original town that it really was. They had a thriving Main Street. And this one mom and pop store was in the middle of this block. And they had been a mainstay in this town for a number of years, several years. Well, all of a sudden, here comes in this one big corporation, and they start buying all these other businesses that's on this block. And they try to buy from the mom and pop store, and they wouldn't sell because their business wasn't just a business. It was their life. It was who they are. They were there, yes, as a business, but they were there to serve the community. They felt like it was a part of their ministry. And so what happened, this corporation, they bought everything on the block but this one mom and pop store, and they thought, we'll just force them out. We'll put them out of business. And so can you imagine on this main street? So here's all of this street front property here and here. And then here's the little mom and pop store right in the middle. And so the big corporation on the front of all of their businesses on the glass windows and all those things, they put half price sale. You know, come and do your business with us. So the mom and pop store, they were praying, what do we do? And God told him exactly what to do. He went and had him a sign printed up, and he put it on the above his door, and it said main entrance. Come on, think about it. Where are you going to go in when you see the other signs, and then you see the sign that says main entrance? There's only one main entrance into heaven. Come on, the main entrance in through heaven is through Jesus Christ, through the very blood of the Lamb. And so this morning, you and I, we can have everything that God's promised. If we will what? If we'll hear as a child. If we'll have, we'll put everything in it to obtain as a child. And then we'll recognize our heritage. And we'll start walking and living in our inheritance today. Don't wait to heaven to enjoy life. Don't wait for heaven to be able to make an impact. All of those things are going to be set and settled when we get there. We're here today. We have an opportunity today. Let's make the most of it in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your goodness, your kindness, your grace. I thank you for this moment. This moment, my heart cannot express the joy that I feel, the hope that I have in my life for each person that's here. I'm so thankful, Father, that you would allow me to be able to spend this Sunday morning with you and with your people. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I ask that you just touch each one of us right now. Reveal yourself to us like we've never seen before. And help us just to reach out to you. Lord, that person that's hurting this morning, they're hurting emotionally, they're hurting physically, or they're hurting financially, whatever it might be, I ask that you would speak a word to them and show them as your child that you want to take care of them. You want to help them. You want to minister to them. Let today be the day that they hear, thus saith the Lord, above all the voices of this world. Let it be, Father. We ask you in Jesus' name. Would you come this morning, make yourself an altar, and say, Lord, I love you. I'm so thankful that you first loved me. Would you come and just let him talk to you this morning? Let him minister to any need that you might have. And if you so be it, you would allow us, we would love to pray with you, to be able to encourage you and strengthen you. There's no accidents in the plan in the kingdom of God. There's accidents in the world, but you're not of the world. You're of the Lord. Amen.